Great. Well, I just want to share God's word with us as we sort of draw our service to a closer for the next 10 minutes or so. I just want to bring some thoughts from God's word to us all. So you might want to grab a Bible if you've got one. I know that many of you find scriptures on your phones, but let's just, for the next few minutes, let's just determine to say, God, would you speak to me? I said a few weeks ago that I don't watch a lot of telly, and that's true. I actually don't. I'm not that bothered with it, really. I don't watch a lot of news, and that's been very intentional recently. Sort of a few weeks ago, with all that was happening, and with this virus in our nation across our world, I was watching quite a lot, as I'm sure many of you were. And if I'm really honest, I don't mind being honest, it was really feeding some anxiety for me. And I just had to come to a decision of just saying, you know, I'm going to be really careful how much I watch. Obviously, I want to keep up to date. I want to know what's happening, but I want to be really mindful of what I'm receiving, what I'm taking in, because it affects us. So I just want to throw that out. Maybe you're still watching a lot of news and it's really affecting you in a bad way. So I just made a choice. I'm going to maybe just once a day just check in, but I'm really not going to watch a lot. One thing I don't do is I don't watch it in the morning. My pattern in the morning is that I wake up quite early. I'm definitely always the first up in our house. I just like waking up early. Actually, what I really like is that it's the one time of the day I can be quiet while everyone else is still in bed. So I get up and that's the time that I spend with God. One day this week, though, for whatever reason, I don't know why, I was up early having my breakfast and I thought, oh, I'm just going to switch the news on. Don't know why, but I did. I put the news on and I did that flicking around news channels. I'm not going to name and shame. I'm not going to say which channel it was, but I watched a particular news channel and there was a news presenter on there. And I'm just going to say it, he made me so angry. The way that he was interviewing, happened to be actually an MP, the way that he was interviewing this particular person was just so rude. It was just horrendous. And I sat for maybe 5 minutes just watching, and I was just getting so angry. But it was an anger that was coming from this deep place of how dare he, whether he thinks he's right or wrong, how dare this news presenter treat another human being like that? I was appalled. In fact, I did something that I don't recall doing before in my life. Maybe I have, but I don't recall doing it. I got my computer out and I emailed this particular news broadcast station and I complained. I wrote an email of complaint. I don't think I've ever done that before. That shows how pretty het up I was about it. And the thing I was het up about wasn't the right or wrong of the conversation. Almost that was irrelevant. We can get so caught up on whether we're right or wrong, and we get so hung up on that. To me, that was irrelevant. The bit that really just got me was the attitude and the way, the words that were spoken by this particular person to another person. And I said these words out loud. No one deserves to be treated like that. No one. And I put that in my email. Say nobody deserves to be treated like that. Whether you're right or wrong, it doesn't matter. And since then, that was early on in the week, my mind has just been so full of this concept, and it will come up on the screen now in a minute, is that your words matter. Your words matter. Do you know the Bible says so many times about the importance of our words? They really matter. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures now, and these ones we find in the book of Proverbs, and you'll know them. One of them says this, that there is literally life and death in the power of our words. I mean, you might go, really? Yes, really. Your words carry that much power. There is life and death. You know, when I watched this interview happening in the week, I felt the power of death through the words that were being spoken. There was no life in these words, but it was a real challenge to me. I can't sit here in judgment upon somebody else. Rather, I have to look at myself and say, do my words ever carry that same tone? Am I ever harsh in such a way that actually there's more death than life? The Bible says this, that our words can either build up or they destroy. They can either build up or they can tear down. And the challenge I want to bring to us this morning is that we have a choice. We have a choice in how we use our words. Our words can either speak life or speak death. During the book of James, a little book that is after in the Bible, a letter that's written to a church. James in chapter 3, he writes all about the power of our tongue, the power of our words. And maybe you could go away and read it after this, the power of our words. And he says the same thing. He says our tongue may be very small, but it is so powerful. So powerful. I want to encourage us today to be mindful in the way that we use our words, to know that our words can either speak life or death. They really can. And I wish I had longer to unpack this, but I think you're hearing my heart today. Choose well the way that you use your words, and especially at a time like this. Think before you speak. Think before you text somebody. Think before you post on social media. Think before you send an email. Think all the time. Are my words, if they are received, are they going to speak life or are they going to speak death? Are they going to bring health or are they going to damage? Our words matter, and we have a choice. Do you know our motto at Harbour Church is speak life? I don't know if it's on the banner behind me. It's right down. You can't see it, probably. You can see it. It says speak in life to our community. We don't always get it right. In fact, I want to apologise right now if sometimes as Harbour Church we've said things that aren't helpful. I'm sorry about that. We recognise we don't always get it right, but our heart, our intention is to be a people that speak life, because that's the call of God to us, that we are a people who speak life, words that build up. I just want to say this before I move on to a second thought, is that actually sometimes we can think that speaking life means that we've just got to say everything. You know, we don't tell the truth. I want to say that the truth is life. And so you can speak the truth in love and it will bring life. So speaking life doesn't mean that we just say everything that everyone wants to hear. We keep it all politically correct and we just say everything that keeps everyone happy. That's not speaking life. That can be speaking death. But actually speaking life means we speak truth, but we speak truth in love. And when we do that, that's when people find freedom. Do you know David prayed in the Psalms again? We read a couple of prayers that David prayed. And I just want to urge you to look at these and to pray them for yourself personally. He said this, may the words of my mouth, the words I speak, and he said, and also the meditation of my heart. But I want to talk about the words. May the words I speak be pleasing to you, God. Wow, what a prayer. Imagine if every day you prayed that before you started your day. God, may the words that I speak be pleasing. Another version says, be acceptable. Like, are your words acceptable? Is God pleased with your words? That's a challenge, isn't it? There's another prayer that David prayed, and it's a bit stronger maybe. He said this, set a guard over my mouth. Wow. I don't mind admitting that I talk a lot, and I probably need that more than maybe some of you do. I need God to set a guard over my mouth. It says here, you can see on the screen, take control of what I say, O Lord, and keep my lips sealed. In other words, my words matter. Help me to speak truth and life. Second thing, though, that I want to talk to us about this morning, and actually this is more important, really, is that his words matter. His words, the word of God, matters more than anything. I want to ask you this morning, whose words are you building your life on? You see, your words matter, my words matter, but what matters more than anything is whose words I'm building my life upon. Whose words are shaping you right now? Whose words are defining who you are and your family? Whose words are you building your life on? Whose words are influencing you? Whose words are guiding you? Whose words are you allowing to speak into your life right now? Come on, you know where I'm going with this, you see, because Satan's words are as powerful, you know, can be so powerful. And you have a choice whether you're going to listen to Satan's words or whether you're going to listen to Jesus' words. Jesus said this, that Satan comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life to the full. We have a choice. Are we going to build our lives on Satan's words that actually just destroy, steal and kill? And you know those words, the words, sometimes we call them the tapes in our heads that just are so destructive. They don't bring life at all, they bring death. Words that make us feel insecure, words that make us compare ourselves to one another, words that just are destructive in terms of who we are as people. I want to encourage you today, don't build your life on those words. Switch those words off and choose to build your life on the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus was an amazing teacher. It says this in the Bible that when people heard him speak, they were astounded at what he said. The book of Matthew, Matthew 5 and 6 and 7, we read some incredible teaching that Jesus brought to people. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. He was on a mountain and he was speaking. Right at the end of his teaching, he tells this story. We call it a parable, a story. He says there were two men. One was wise and one was foolish. He said the wise person decided to build their house on rock, on something that was safe and secure. And when a storm came, the house stood firm because it was built on rock. But there was a foolish builder. And this foolish builder couldn't be bothered to put in the hard work of building his life on the words of Jesus, the rock. He built his house on sand. Come on, we're in Folkestone. We know if you build a sandcastle, what happens after a while? Like the water washes it away. But in this story, Jesus says there was a storm. And the storm came and the house that the foolish person built, it just collapsed. Jesus said this, build your life on my words. Build your life on my teaching. Because if you do that, when the storms come, and notice that Jesus doesn't say if the storms come, he says when the storms come. We're in a storm right now, aren't we? When the storms come, if your life is built on my words, on the rock, you will stand. I want to encourage you today to be someone who builds your life not on other people's words, definitely not on the words that Satan brings because they are destructive, but build your life on this, on the words of Jesus. I love this book. I love the Bible. Psalmist David, he said, your words bring life to me. That he, in Psalm 119, wow, he talks all about the word of God and how precious it is, how sweet it is, how amazing it is. It nourishes us. It's incredible. I want to just give you a couple of verses what Jesus said. Jesus said this in John 6, verse 63. He said that his words are life. The Spirit gives life. It's the Spirit who gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And Jesus said, the very words I've spoken to you are spirit and life. When you read Jesus' words, when you meditate on them, when you build your life upon them, you're building on life himself. True life. Jesus said this in John 15. He said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will be fruitful. John 15, Jesus is talking about fruitfulness. And he says, let my words remain in you. We need to be a people who know the word of God and who live our life according to the word of God. His word is what will hold us. In Proverbs 30, we read this, every word of God proves true. It is a shield to those who take refuge in him. As I draw this message to a close, I want to remind you of the two things I've said. The first thing is this, is that your words matter. There is life and death in words. I'm going to say that again. There is life and death in our words. Your words matter. Can I challenge you this week to be so mindful of your words? You know, my mum used to say to me, and I'm sure your mum used to say to you, if you haven't got anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. It's a great rule to live by. But I'm more interested in what the Bible says. The Bible says that actually there's life and death in the power of our words. That's powerful. I want to be known as somebody who spoke life. And here's the challenge. The words I speak then need to be Jesus' words. It's not Sarah's words. It's Jesus' words. The words I speak need to be Jesus' words. And how do I speak Jesus' words? Well, firstly, by knowing them. But it's not just enough for my mind to know them. I could learn this whole book, recite it to you. So what? I need to have the transforming work of the Holy Spirit causing his words to be life to me. And you can have that too. You can know the life-transforming work of the Holy Spirit in you that cause his words to be life to you, and you then speak those words. My final thought is this, is that we read in the book of Acts that the disciples, it says of the disciples that they had the same accent as Jesus. They spoke like him. It says we could tell that they were one of his followers because they speak like him. What a great thought. I wonder where you're watching this from. I know there's people not just from Folkestone watching this. I've got a good Kent accent. I wonder what accent you've got. In our house, we like to mimic accents. I'm not going to do that now. Don't panic. But you know, what? I wonder what your accent is. Your accent tells where you're from. Your accent tells who you hang around. We need to be people that have the accent of Jesus. People that speak his voice, speak his language, because we've been with him. We've been with him. I want to pray right now, and in a minute we're going to sing together. I'm going to pray before we do this that the Holy Spirit will help us to have the accent of Jesus this week, that our words speak life, speak truth, bring wholeness to people. Would you join me now as we pray? Lord Jesus, I thank you that you alone have the words of eternal life. Your words bring life to us. And today I want to pray for all of us that we would build our life upon your words, that we would build our life upon who you say we are, that we would build our life upon the truth of who you are. I pray right now that all other words that are not from you would be silenced and would be gone in Jesus' name, and that we would know the truth of what you say, and that truth would set us free. And I pray that as a result of living in the truth of your words, that we would be people who speak life wherever we go, that our words would build up and not destroy, that our words would be life-giving this week. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing together a great song that just talks about who God is. He is the King, and what he says about us. Let's be blessed as we sing.